Be'ez Hashem, we're beginning now a shiur this Monday night. It will not be in the parsha. It is almost Erev Sukkos. I'd like to talk a little bit about the holiday of Sukkos, the thoughts behind Sukkah, and some relevant halachas that are very pertinent to the Chag HaSukkah, so that we'll be better prepared for the Chag. The holiday of Sukkos takes place on Tes Vav Tishrei, the 15th day of Tishrei. Meforshim explain, commentaries explain, that there seems to be a strange setting of time. Why is that part of the year? If the holiday of Sukkos is supposed to represent the Anani HaKavod, the holy clouds that protected the Jewish people, and when we go into the Sukkah, we are in a certain sense going into this holy abode with the Kedusha and the thought of remembering the holy clouds of glory, then we really should be sitting Pesach time in the Sukkah,
yeah,
and crunching matzah at the very same time, saying Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. Why are we 6 months later down the road sitting in a Sukkah trying to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we fulfill a biblical commandment of sitting in the Sukkah? So the commentaries explain that the reason why the Torah adjusted the timing of Sukkos to be in the fall is in order to give no one the impression that we're going into a sun hut. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim was Bechodesh Ha'aviv, was in the springtime, the time when the weather is gorgeous, the time where people go out into their cottages and enjoy the beautiful atmosphere, the beautiful climate, the beautiful weather that's out there. And it would be very easy to misinterpret the mitzvah of Sukkos as going into a Sukkah to fulfill the mitzvah. Well, you know, you can say I'm going to do the mitzvah of Sukkah, but the truth of the matter is, deep in the heart of hearts, you really want a nice, relaxing break in the Sukkah.
So this is in Israel.
This could be anywhere.
No, but in the southern hemisphere, it's the opposite.
The truth of the matter is, in the climate, in many parts of the world, the climate of Chodesh Aviv, the Nisan climate, or today for us we call it April, is usually a very pleasant time for most of the world. Mm-hmm. And just going back to what you said before, the Jewish people really were living in Eretz Yisrael, or should be living in Eretz Yisrael, and there the climate is beautiful, Bechodesh Aviv. And therefore, the Torah didn't want people to go into their sukkahs to cool off from the pleasant heat and say, I'm enjoying this gazebo, lahavdol. But they're going into their sukkah when the climate is changing, when the weather becomes a little cool and sometimes nippy. And therefore, no one is going to get the impression that people are going into the sukkah
to be comfortable.
Rather, they're going into the sukkah L'shem mitzvah. They're going into the sukkah. Now, you're going to tell me there are many parts of the world that it's warm, like in Florida and then a different part. That is true. But by and large, the mitzvah was given to the Jewish people at a time when there is a climate change. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when you go into the sukkah, they're definitely would say we're doing it L'shem Shemayim.
But the climate change is just going from a little bit warm to just a little bit cooler. Not like we're sitting frozen in the sukkah with winter jackets on, like okay. We're supposed to be in the Holy Land, right? So it's not supposed to be
you
that
are right.
much of a temperature adjustment.
Well, let's put it this way. To make sure that the mitzvah is being done with Shem Shemayim, when you're sitting in the sukkah with your hat, scarf, and gloves, then you're doing the mitzvah l'shem shemayim.
Right.
No one is going to construe that you're going to be in that sukkah because you're really out for a really breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. You know, it's no one's going to construe.
Because I was in Israel last year in sukkah.
I understand.
No, 27
I,
degrees
I,
and sunny.
Yeah. I agree, but that's one interpretation our Chachamim tell us. And that's why it's put off to the fall. And after all, we all are familiar here in Chutzlaris that at this time of the year, people are thinking of closing their cottages and having it winterized, if that's the word. And they're trying to go into their homes to warm up and not reverse. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, has another interpretation, which is even easier to understand, and I would say closer to home in terms of the holiday of Sukkot. The reason why we sit in the Sukkot, as we mentioned, is to commemorate the Anani HaKavod, to remember the clouds of glory. The clouds of glory disappeared from the Jewish people when the Jewish people sinned by the Egel HaZohav. The Jewish people suffered the loss of the clouds of glory. It returned to the Jewish people on Tes Vav Tishrei. Why? Because Yud Tishrei is Yom Kippur. Yud Aleph Tishrei is when Moshe Rabbeinu announced, after he came back with the new set of luchos, and he made an announcement, it's time to give truma, donations, to build the Mishkan, whether it's gold, silver, copper, blue wool, purple wool, red wool, all this, all the elements, all the supplies of what was needed for the Mishkan was announced then, Yud Aleph, on the 11th day of Tishrei. Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, that's tonight. Tonight's the Yud Gimel, it's the night of the of the 13th of Tishrei. The entire Jewish people flooded the offices, so to say. I'm sure there were a special place that wasn't an office, but whatever it was, the places where they collected huge amounts of supplies. And on the 14th day of Tishrei, there was an announcement, no more, we have sufficient. We have sufficient supplies, please, no more donations. That was for the purpose of the Mishkan. And on the 15th day, they started constructing the vessels. And they were finished by Tes Chaf Hei Kislev, which is Hanukkah. That's when they finished. It wasn't really Hanukkah in the desert, but it was the same day that later, in many generations later, is observed as Hanukkah. So the Shechina, the Anani HaKavod, came back on Tes Vav Tishrei, because that's when they started to work on the Mishkan, and Hashem's holiness was brought back with the that was represented with the Anani HaKavod. And now we understand how appropriate is the holiday of Sukkot on Tes Vav Tishrei. It commemorates the Anani HaKavod, the holy clouds of glory. And the clouds of glory returned on Tes Vav Tishrei. That's when we have the holiday of Sukkot. That's how it works.
What was the sin?
What do you mean they returned?
What was the sin?
The sin was that the Egel Hazav.
The Egel? The clouds of glory disappeared then after the Egel.
Right.
and came back.
I thought
back.
They stopped when Aaron died. When Aaron died, they disappeared.
When Aaron died, that's at the end of the 40 years. We're not talking about that. The clouds of glory returned.
Went and came?
That's right. It came back on Tezvav Tishrei, according to the Vilna Gaon. And then it stayed till Aaron passed away, which is at the end of the 40th year. Okay? Historically, this is the picture of Sukkos. Now, let me ask you. We say this is Chag HaSukkos. Why do we say it in plural? When it comes to Pesach, do we say Chag HaPsachim or Chag HaPesach? The holiday of Pesach. We say Chag HaSukkos. We don't say Chag HaSukkah.
Everybody's supposed to have a Sukkah.
Huh?
Everybody's supposed to have a sukkah.
So that's the mitzvah, sukkah. Your sukkah, my sukkah, your sukkah, his sukkah.
So of course.
Sukkah is plural.
But Pesach is one of
the
words.
Sukkah. The what?
God Pesach.
Pesach. The word Pesach is
it's a verb.
No. It's a verb. It's a verb. Huh? It's to skip.
It passed.
Well, let's stop and explain that. Chag HaPesach is a holiday of Passover.
Right.
Chag HaPesach is a noun. It's the name of a holiday.
Oh, okay, but it's also a verb.
Is Pesach.
Yes.
No, Pesach and Pesach are two different words.
Oh, okay.
Right. Pesach, right? Right? Is the Korban Pesach.
Oh, okay.
Pesach, with a comments, with an O-A, means he passed over.
Right.
Right? That goes into grammar, Hebrew grammar. But I just want to get into simple name.
So the other one.
Why do we call this holiday? Why do we call the holiday of Sukkah is Sukkos? Chag HaSukkos. And the Mephoshim explained to just bring you into the holiday. Because if you fulfill your Sukkah in this world, you will be privileged to your own Sukkah in the world to come. And that's two Sukkos.
Mm-hmm.
That's two. One here.
And one there.
And one there. So therefore it's Chag HaSukkos because you're going to be privileged to be in two Sukkos, not just one here, but one in the world to come. The holiday of Sukkos is coined by the name of Zman Simchaseinu. It's a name. Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our joy. That's what coins the holiday of Sukkos. What coins the holiday of Pesach? Zman Cheresenu. Well, we do eat matzah, but the name. Zman Cheresenu, the time of our freedom. When we were redeemed. Zman Cheresenu. What coins the holiday of Shavuos? Zman Matan Cheresenu. Okay? So, but the question is, why do we call Sukkos Zman Simchaseinu any less than the Simcha of Pesach being redeemed and the Simcha of Shavuos having received the Torah? We're supposed to say, V'samachta b'chagecha, right? V'yisa achsameach, and all the three holidays. We're supposed to be b'simcha in all the three holidays. Yet, the name that's given to Sukkos is Zman Simchaseinu. Why do we give it such a title? Zman Simchaseinu. What was special, what was unusual about this time of the year that we are now going to call Sukkos Zman Simchaseinu? The Nesiva Shalom talks about it, the Slaughter thereof, and he quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the pasuk says, "B'yom chasnuso zman matan and ubiyom simchas libo." What is zman chasunaso? The time of his chasna, referring to Hashem's chasna, with the Jewish people. That was Matan Torah Seinu, Matan giving of the Torah. And what was the Yom Simchas Libo, the day of Hashem's joy of his heart, his beloved deepest joy that the Almighty had? It was the day that the Beis HaMikdash was built. When was the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, of King Solomon, the first Beis HaMikdash? It was the time of Sukkot. That was the time the Beis HaMikdash was inaugurated. And the Mefarshim explained, Sefer Atudah also explains that that's one of the reasons, that's the reason why we don't say Tachlin now. Because this is the period of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. You understand? But it's Man Simchaseinu. Because it was the Simcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it our Simcha? Because this was Hashem's Simcha. What was Hashem's Simcha? The building of the Beis HaMikdash. And it was inaugurated. I'm going to tell you.
Sukkot?
Yes, all around. It started before Sukkot, so it went right in. And according to this is the Gemara in Moed Katan, something very incredible, that this was a 14-day celebration, and it started before Yom Kippur, and it went through Yom Kippur, and they ate on Yom Kippur, as the Gemara will explain, and Hashem forgave them for eating on Yom Kippur, because it was Zman Simcha Seinu, because this was His Simcha, the Simcha of building of the Beis HaMikdash, where Hashem's holiness finally had a permanent place to rest in this world. That is what Mefarshim, the Gemara explains, is incredible. And therefore, since this is the time when the Beis HaMikdash was inaugurated, time of Sukkot, it now became for the Jewish people Zman Simchaseinu. The holiday of Sukkot is our Zman of Simcha. Attached to that,
So my question on Zman Simchaseinu, yes. We don't have Beit HaMikdash now. So how could we be so happy without having it?
The truth of the matter is the fact that the holiness of that site is still there.
Okay.
It's still there. The building isn't, but the holiness there is there. We know that we're not allowed to go past the wall. We're not allowed to go past the wall. Now, there are different opinions of can you even
touch
the wall. There are different opinions of could you put a kvittel with your finger
passing
into the wall. Because there's a discussion whether a person could do that, because there's a question of being punished for being tummy at the time and going past the wall. Mm-hmm. Past the wall doesn't mean you went on the other side of that big, thick wall. It means you've trespassed by going into the crack. Because according to some opinions, the Beis HaMikdash, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha, the fact that Hashem's holiness came down and rested on that piece of land, started from where the building blocks,
the edge of the wall,
of the edge of those blocks landed. So if you have a crack in the wall,
you pass the edge.
You pass the edge. You understand there are differences of opinion over here.
What is behind the wall right now?
I think there's a Damask. There's Damask.
The Muslim.
The mosque.
Like an airplane took a picture of what.
Yeah, well, that's the mosque.
It's
a mosque on top of the Kodesh Kedoshim, which is the spot where Yitzchak and Avram had the Akedah. What is really there?
Did you do the tour of the?
It's the outer wall.
No, I didn't go in.
You should go take the tour.
It was too much walking for my knee.
But that's what it's.
A friend of mine, a friend of mine down south, I believe he paid somebody, a non-Jew, to take his camera and take pictures of everything inside.
I want to take a movie. Maybe.
He went ahead and took...
How did he get in there? Was he an Arab?
A guy. Well, maybe an Arab.
He took was allowed to go in?
Yeah, it's not. The guy has no problem.
But a Jew can't go.
No. So he took pictures of that whole area.
Yeah.
And that's the spot. It's called the Evan Shasia. Evan Shasia is the stone that is the center of the earth. And... That's what they put, that was where the cave was also built.
Did you see those pictures?
It's many years ago, but I'm remembering the fact that this is something very, very unusual, and you never know how the Hashgacha has its plan and purpose, where you would have said, how dare the Muslims occupy our holy place? But maybe they are taking good care of it, and they don't want people to trespass who don't belong there and so forth. And we know we don't belong there, because we are not spiritually clean to do it. We don't belong there. But the fact is that it is a very, very special holy place. In the time of the second base of Midrash, where there were no luchos, they didn't have the ark of the tablets. So that is where, on that spot, they would do the korban and sprinkle blood on the side instead of in front of the Aron HaKodesh, because there was no Aron HaKodesh. It disappeared. What I'm trying to bring out over there, it's a holy place from the time when Hashem rested His Shekhinah. And that is remains that way forever and ever. That is the holy place.
So behind the wall is where the temple was.
Well, that the temple continues.
Mosque, a Muslim mosque
right.
on top of
the
where
holy,
the temple was.
Exactly. And on top of the holiest spot. The holiest spot.
What a desecration.
Huh? We call it the Rock of the
Dome.
The Dome of the Rock. And we call it the Hekeda.
Listen, let me put it this way.
There should be nothing of it.
Everything. Everything has a purpose. Mm-hmm. If I don't understand it all, it doesn't mean that there has no reason for it to be. That, you know,
it's amazing that God allows a mosque to be on top.
You know,
the rabbi said a good point. They're taking good care of it.
They are.
Nobody trespasses.
Because
we're not allowed to go in.
They're the gatekeepers of our temple?
Well, you know what? Temporarily, that's what they may be doing. But the point is, it is a holy place. And that's what I'm trying to get to. And therefore, since this was the time when there was a Chanukah HaMizbeach, the inauguration of the Mizbeach, of the Beis HaMikdash, it became the Zman Simchasein of the Jewish people, because it was a period of Simcha. This was a period of Simcha for the Jewish people. This was a period. And therefore, Sukkot is coined as Zman Simchasein, the time of our joy. Together with that is, we have the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. At the same time of Sukkot, the second day of, the second night, I should say, of Sukkot, is the Zman of the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, the tremendous rejoicing and the dancing and the music playing and the festivities, where Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Almighty and of people, were able to feel, they were elated, they were ecstatic at the time of such Simcha. We're told that Yonah Hanovi received his prophecy at the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, where he was told to go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh.
Can we play music then? Like, we should be able to play music.
We could in Eretz Yisrael, because it's all Chol HaMoed.
We can't because it's still.
You can do it the night after the third. But in Eretz Yisrael now they do it.
Recording. I was recording it.
Yeah. So again, it all fits. It's part and parcel of the simcha. All part and parcel of the simcha.
For you, it's Yom Tov.
So question: when yeah. Simcha Torah there, I was there. Erev Simcha Torah and
Shmini Atzeret.
Shmini Atzeret here, or whatever. I was confused. Yeah. But it was Simcha Torah there.
Yeah.
But I noticed that at the Kotel, there was little activity. Maybe because of security reasons, they curtailed it.
So I don't know. All I know like this, it's a very strange scenario in Eretz Yisrael where my two children who lived there, made Aliyah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I know my son was there last year, my younger son, for Sukkos. The first day is Yantif. The second day, I was Strymuch and everything, they're riding cars and buses, and my son says, Yantif! It's literally Yantif.
For him.
So he had to find an American minion, and he had to have a special davening.
He was visiting at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No.
Once he moves, he's...
Yeah, but... Okay. Yeah, yeah,
why
but,
can't we do what they do in Israel, even though we're visiting? Like, if they're doing a one-day yontif, then why don't we just do a one-day yontif? Because we're not really
in
Galus.
No, and that's an excellent question.
And then go back to Galus and then do what we normally do.
Okay. Logically, you're 100% right. But the answer is, since we do not belong to the land of Israel yet, since our established residence, our permanent residence, as of now, is in Chutz La'aretz. That decides for us the halacha of Yom Tov. Oh. That decides for us the laws of Yom Tov. And when my son from Eretz Yisrael came to Toronto, he had one day, and he had to hide himself in the room and to do some private things over there, and if it was he would have to put on a tefillin. He couldn't do it in public,
so he had to put on tefillin in his bedroom.
In the bedroom, why? Because his permanent residence is as an Israeli in terms of the halacha of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he had to have only one day of Yom Tov.
Like that, I get.
Okay.
The other way. Yeah, the other way.
So listen, Rav Daniil,
you can argue we're in Galus. The whole world's in Galus. So it's not
okay. So I'm telling you, I did not decide the halacha, but the halacha goes by where your residence is. I know a friend of mine who bought a piece of land, he bought a condominium.
So he could have status?
And he goes, no, listen to this. Not only his status, he goes for all the three chagim
there
in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked the Shaila, the rest of the year he lives in Toronto. He says, since you bought a piece of land and you come to Eretz Yisrael for the Shalosh Regalim, then the Shalosh Regalim, as far as you're concerned, is as an Israeli. And you have to observe the laws, because you are now a permanent resident, even though that...
Because he owns the land. He owns a part
exactly,
of the land.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're really going
I'm
for...
I'm going to buy some property. That's the way to do it.
I can visit you.
Yeah.
No, then you can rent it. Then you both have status. You Airbnb, whatever.
Okay.
Airbnb. Okay.
Now, I want to now move on.
Airbnb.
The holiday of Sukkot is now broadening to some many things. We just talked about Zman Simcha Seinu. I will broaden the concept of Zman Simcha Seinu to this time, to the concept of Achdus. That the Jewish people were in tremendous amount of Achdus, because of the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, the festivities and the dancing. But then comes the Lulav and Esrog. The Lulav and Esrog, the four species. The four species. There are different commentaries explaining what's behind the four species. But let's just take one of the commentaries. One explanation is that we have these four species the Torah tells us we have to have them all, but they must be together to fulfill the mitzvah. We have the Esrog, we have the Lulav, we have the Hadassim, and we have the Aravos. The Esrog, even shaped a little bit like a heart, has taste and has smell. The Lulav is date palm. Date palm tree. Dates are very sweet, delicious, but they have no odor. We have the Hadassim. We have the Hadassim. They look like little eyelets, nice. Right? And a tremendous smell, beautiful smell. People make besamim from those Hadassim. They make bari mina besamim, bari atzid besamim. But it has no taste. The Arava looks like little lips, right? Narrow, the narrow, long leaves, has no taste and has no odor. Says the our commentaries, the Esrog is compared to the Talmud Chacham that has Midos Tovos. Smells good, the Esrog smells good and tastes good. Smells good is Midas Tovus. Tastes good is a Talmud Chacham. He has knowledge. Beautiful. The beautiful fruit. The date palm has taste but no odor. It's compared to a Talmud Chacham but doesn't have Midas Tovus. The Hadassim has beautiful odor, no taste, compared to the person has Midas Tovos, but it's not a Talmud Chacham. And the Arava has no smell and no taste, is compared, unfortunately, to the person who is not learned and does not have Midas Tovos. But we take them all together. And the only way we can fulfill the mitzvah, by holding them together. When you hold them together, you fulfill the mitzvah. And you shake it, up and down, all four directions. There are different of customs. My minig, as an Ashkenaz, I go east, south, west, and north. I go like clockwise.
And then up and down.
And then up and down. What the point is, with this, not that I do understand it, but I know that this is what the Mefarshim was saying. It protects us from various physical dangers that can come from different directions, up, down, in each direction. This is not something that is something that was like a something that boiled in the test tube and you see it right away and you say, "Nah, I know this works."
Scientific.
It's not scientific. It's very spiritual, but I would dare not skip it because it's nanunim. The nanunim are very, very important. The nanunim are very, very special.
So it protects us from physical calamities?
From physical calamities, right, and from proper rain or bad rain could be, you know, the hurricanes. These are all a result of something. There are no accidents to that. There's all something has to do with something. But I, again, this is mystical. I'm not prepared to go into it. But what I want to tell you, it fits into the whole theme of Sukkot, of Zman Simchaseinu, where we are saying to even to the unlearned, we're saying even to the person who is ignorant, or even to the person who is not even well-mannered, we're going to take you part of Klal Yisrael. We're going to be part of with you. And when you hold them all together, we can get a mitzvah. When all the Jewish people converge, they will become together. We want to do God's will. You want to know something? It happens that when you take even the person who is unfortunately drifted away, and you show him a warmth, and you show him you care, and you show him the beauty, you show him the consistency of how the Torah is a light to onto the nations, is a light to the Jewish people. You show them that. You warm them up. Believe me, it does help many, many times. Can't say most of the time, I can't say all of the time, but the concept of the achdus, the concept of putting together, and that's the only way you can do the mitzvah. By taking the esrog together with the other species. The esrog that is the Chacham v'Chacham, the esrog that's the Balmidus. Put them together with the person who could be a Rasha. Yeah? You put him together with that. That's when the Talmud Chacham fulfills all his obligations. That's when we, as people, as Jewish people, fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog.
You're putting the light and the dark together.
And we are influencing the dark. That's what's happening. We know another very beautiful thing that I would say that would fit into the Zman Simchaseinu, the time of our joy, which is Halei Sukkos, is the Kedusha that was created by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, was not only because of the Ruach HaKodesh that was cast upon the people who were so uplifted and were ecstatic at the time from the simcha of Sukkos and of the singing and dancing, is that this is the makor, this is the source of the mechitza that separates the men from the women, and that's where the kedusha of a shul rests upon. The first mechitza was made on Simcha Beis HaShoeva. The first mechitza was when the women had a balcony and they watched from the balcony the men dancing below, and they were separated from each other so they shouldn't mingle and they shouldn't come out preachers. That's the preachers means immorality. There shouldn't be This light-headed behavior between the men and the women.
Gravity.
This would all take place if there was no mechitza. So, part of the Zman Simchaseinu is to know that there are borders. And for a Jew to be able to properly observe Simcha.
On the 15th?
That was on the 16th, not on the 15th. The 15th, the one that was the regular day of Sukkot. Uh-huh. The 16th was Chol Hamoed, and that's when they constructed the balcony and the mechitza. So what I'm adding to this
or
what
the mechitza wasn't was it a balcony?
It was a balcony. It was and that's where they had the women watch the festivities.
But really, I mean, in today's world, it really depends on the minhag or whatever. But there are some places where that mechitza
is just a partition.
But it's not there at all. It's there during tefillah.
But the funny part, conservative shuls are all built with balconies. Did you notice?
But for a different reason. Just
what's the reason? No, but it's the women's section. Men don't go up there.
Yeah, but space.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, depending on your level of observance.
Okay, so the answer to that is to observe the kedusha to the letter of the law. It is appropriate that the men sit separate from the women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, we're living in a day and age where not everybody is up to that level. Mm-hmm. And taking into consideration that the pinnacle of the Kedusha, the pinnacle, would be davening. That would be the pinnacle, where davening should be at a peak, where the separation between the men and the women must take place, so then at least observe it there. But we all are allowed to grow. We all are allowed to aspire for higher levels. And after all, when there is a separation between the men and the women, there is less chance for lightheadedness to take place.
We shouldn't be speaking to any woman then.
Didn't say that.
But really, we shouldn't.
No, is that you mean?
Because even conversations
can lead to thoughts and looking.
And there's not much.
We shouldn't be talking at all.
No.
Yeah, for you, yeah, maybe.
The Mishnah says. The Mishnah says al tarba sicha im isha. The Mishnah says doesn't say you shouldn't talk to women. Say al tarba sicha im isha.
What's that mean?
Do not excessively talk to women. Right, because then your behavior could become promiscuous, and yeah, then you shouldn't.
Well, what's excessive?
Well, it depends how you engage in the conversation. Is it necessary? Is it for a practical reason, or is it just to kill time? No, you have to be able to make that border. Again, the mechitzas were put to separate the men from the women to create the level of Kedusha that was appropriate and in sync with the Beis HaMikdash. And from there we learn out that Kedusha, to be maintained in its highest level, needs that separation.
What about some of the ultra-Orthodox sects that they won't look at a woman, they'll look down like that when they're talking? Mm-hmm. They won't look.
Okay.
So what's your opinion on that? Do you think
so? You're making a point for the person who feels religious, and he feels he might go down in level. Again, you're asking me about a person who has tried to aspire to a certain level. Mm-hmm. And for him, that sensitivity was crucial for him to remain separate. In other words, let me give you an example, right? If someone has a certain sensitivity to bright sunlight, so he tries to stay out, or close his eyes, or bend his head, or put sunglasses on. Why? Because he's sensitive to that. All right? Why? Is that because he's sick? No, it's because he's sensitive to sunlight. Certain people have aspired to certain levels of holiness that you can't even get near. And the truth of the matter is, Avram and Sarah had that relationship. They were holy. And you have to understand, there was a separation. The point I'm trying to bring out is that the greater the person is, the more sensitive he is, and the more he is allowed to, and he's entitled to be more secluded. If that means that it raises his level of Kedusha. And we shouldn't look down at that. If we're not up to that level, then maybe do what we can, but not to look down. Look down at the person who wants to aspire for holiness. Chas v'shalom. No.
I'm just saying, but
it's good to say it. It's good to say that people are allowed and they're entitled to grow. And if we are not in their league, let's say, Baruch Hashem, Yashu Kayach, he has worked on himself to that level that he wishes to be that secluded, to be that holy. It's to be commended, and that's where we have to recognize that. But the bottom line is, or at this point, is that we learn out the concept of mechitza from Simcha Beis HaShe'eva. This is where we learn it from, and from there on, it set the tone for Klal Yisrael for generations to come. There were so much other things to say. I had all the sidurim ready to go through the tefillah of Sukkot. Don't forget at least one thing I wanted to mention.
You have to go?
No, I'm going to stay. Well, the Erev Tavshilin. Please don't forget Erev Tavshilin, because this year is the 3-day Yom Tov.
Yeah,
Wednesday night, is Thursday.
So you've got the same as we did in Rosh Hashanah.
Right. Yeah. You have to be aware. It's a very important thing that not to forget the Erev Tavshilin.
Next week too, no? For the last two Yom
Tovs. We also have it.
Next week also, again.
Yeah. This is for us in Chutzlars, not Israelis.
3-4 day weekends in a row.
Right. This is...
So, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot fall on the same day?
Rosh Hashanah,
exactly, like the same day. You know, like so that we have the same Erev Tashmini, like it falls on
this year. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we should have a Chag Sameach. We should enjoy the holiday, and then Yetzer Hashem, we will rise to the occasion. As soon as we walk in our sukkah, we make a leishit basukkah, and we enjoy the entire Chag with the song and with Torah, with Divrei Torah.